Blog Talk Radio.
Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, look. Human life in a tight crunch, hypnotized 9-to-5 world. Yep, that's right, the paradigm sucks. Improvise, improvise, force. Break it down, check it out, look. Chant it down, check it out, look. Chant it down, make analysis. Chant it down, all the fallacies. Chant it down, you've been lied to. Chant it down, we see right. Can't we metamorphosize with like a lamp shedding light to it?
Live from the Hawaiian Islands, it's Chant It Down Radio with your host Lumen, the people beyond.
Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book. Break it down, chant it down, book.
Welcome again. Welcome to Chant It Down Radio. This is your doorway to the opening of Chanting It Down. So welcome out there where we chant it down to the fullest degree. I'm your host once again, Loomis. This is episode 38 of Chant It Down Radio. And welcome again, and been taking a little break doing some things in life, and now back again with another episode here. And tonight we're going to focus on a continuation of the series of shows, The System Tentacles. And this one is System Tentacle number 18, Technology. Does It Have You? And I'm going to flesh out another important aspect of the control system that has us wrapped up so we can see the truth. And that's what this show is all about, is, seeing the truth. I will get into, if you like to call into the show, I will take calls at the end of the show when I've gone through my information. The call-in number, if you want to call in and hold on or just call in later, is 347-324-3342. 347-324-3342. If you want to call in and chant it down. And we'll get you on and get going on that. And, been back doing some things here and there, and now back on the radio again. The recent events in the world here in Hawaii, we had the scare of two hurricanes, and I'm not surprised, but I just remember again how much the media really spins things out of control. I don't usually watch any news, but I decided to tune in a little bit online, checking in on the status of hurricanes coming our way. It's always nice to be prepared. So I thought, let's see what's the first thing that popped up when I Googled up the hurricanes with CNN. And I looked at how they spin it, and I was just amazed because I had seen the day before the local news, and it was a little more calmer. It wasn't so dramatic. CNN decides to put this dramatic music and these huge titles and flash it on the screen, and they do that stuff over and over again. It's like this peril coming to the Hawaiian Islands. Oh, no. That's how they work. They over-exaggerate things. I remember when we had a tsunami scare, the earthquake in, I think it was Chile in 2010, and they thought, a big tsunami would come our way. So everybody's, prepared, sitting around all day, everything's closed, and watching the two newses, the local, then CNN or any of these bigger conglomerates, and it's amazing what how much they spin the fear. They push the fear and the drama, and that's what TV does to you, and that's why I don't watch it. And I hope that those of you who are listening don't watch it either, and chant it down, and understand that they are the spinners of propaganda, exaggerating lies, giving you things that you should really be taking a few steps back, turning on its head and chanting it down, because this is insane world we live in. And just to see how they portray things, where more people were calm here. Not everybody, but the thing is things happen on Earth. And, well, I always just never panic. And that's what they want you to do, is they want you to panic, be afraid, and be in this frenzy. And CNN and all these news, big news machines pump out fear, and that's what they do. So chant it down, and I've already gone into that deeply in the first System Tentacle show, episode 15 of this show, but System Tentacle number one is the media, mind control, and there's much more to cover probably in that too. But anyway, that's just a little rant there, but I just thought I'd share that because really, well, nothing obviously happened, not much happened, and we got lucky. But the thing is, it's just the how much they spend. You know, double trouble coming to the Hawaiian Islands. Oh, no. You know, and it would be bad to have a hurricane hit. I'm not saying it wouldn't. But the thing is, just the following their thread of fear will always get you in the wrong place. So don't. That's just what I'm saying. So let's see here. This is System Tentacle number 18, so we're going to get into a talk today on technology and how wrapped up we are in technology. And, well, I'll get into that in just a little bit. The System Tentacles is a series of shows. If you're just tuning in now, it would be a mistake to just start listening from this episode forward. And I always give this sort of warning at all the beginnings of my latest shows, only because I don't feel that this Blog Talk Radio is like a lot of other radio shows where you have your regular listeners. A lot of people just drop in and see, hey, what's this all about? More so, I think, than even the regular internet radio shows. So most of my listeners seem to be archive listeners, and that's fine. But so if you are just popping in and tuning in, you ought to go back, because this is a prerequisite. This requires prerequisite knowledge of the past shows I've done on this series of shows. This being System Tentacle number 18, well, it's number 18, so we're far up here in knowledge and concepts that I'm pushing out that for the average listener never tuned into this information, probably is not going to be able to exactly just jump in, you know, unless you're fully awake to this. But it's just better anyway to go through the prerequisites. And the System Tentacles are kind of a metaphor of how caught up you are, you know, how caught up we all are. We're caught up and wrapped up in these tentacles, these tentacles of the beast wrapped around it. And what it is knowing that they're there, even if you can't do anything about it right now. Because the truth is the truth, and we can do what we have control of. But this is what I'm revealing all of it, all the corruption, all the lies, all the things that we're caught up in, so we can be free and understand who we need to be. Very important. So that's just that. And next show, which it's going to be August 27th. At 10 o'clock Hawaiian time, which is 1 o'clock West Coast, and you do the math of the rest, you know, and anywhere in the world, just check it out. Hawaiian time, I know, is off a little bit. We're way out here. But anyway, I'm going to have the great author and activist on, Derek Jensen, and he's going to come on. He's famous for some must reads, I would say, some very important books. One, Endgame. If you haven't read Endgame, that is a 2-volume book series on chanting it down from the view of civilization. And that's why I'm bringing him on this next show. That is the final System Tentacle to go over, is civilization itself, and no one better but to bring on Derek Jensen. So if you haven't ever heard of him, maybe catch up, brush up on his work before he comes on. Excellent, must read, and a very important voice in exposing, you know, the world that we live in, as we do here on the show. And another great book of his is Culture of Make-Believe, and you can just Google him up. And anyway, if you know who he is, then, yeah, come on in, listen to on August 27th. He's going to be at, again, 10 o'clock Hawaiian time, 1 o'clock West Coast time, and on and on. So I'm proud to have him on, and that'll be the next show. The details, you know, some concepts that maybe a lot of people haven't gone through and on this show haven't covered yet, but very important, very big umbrella to take a look at is the civilization itself. And last thing I just want to go over before I get into the show here is just support. If you enjoy this show, I don't think I have a lot of listeners out there. I mean, I do and I don't. I don't really know. It's hard to tell. And I don't care that much, but I feel that the information is valuable. So if you do value this information and you're getting something from the show, the way you can support me, as I say all the time, is spread the word. Spread the word. I don't spread the word very well. My job is to give the word, and I'm a very busy person. I don't have lots of time to spend on the show and promote it, so I need help with promotion. And if you like what I'm doing, then please, we could use the support in pushing it out there, and this information is crucial. And, of course, I'm not the only one talking like this, and there's better voices out there than myself, but I think it's just really good to push the show and help others to understand the chant down, because that's what we're here to do. You know, we're here to take the critique where it needs to go. And so, please spread the word. I think that what happened, and I predicted this too, is the further I went up this string of shows, the system tentacles, I think less people listen because I've started to offend somebody's belief system along the way. And, well, that's fine. I don't care. You know, I'm not going to be apologetic about that because this is the truth and it needs to come out. And it's not about, you know, saving myself from hurting anybody's feelings out there, because the truth sometimes is a hard slap in the face for some people, and I'm just giving it out. And so, you know, the more concepts I go up here, we need to understand this beast, these tentacles that we're wrapped up in, and sometimes the truth hurts too. But hey, you know, if you've been hanging on this whole time and you love the show and you're wanting to chant it down and continue to spread the word of Chant It Down, well, spread the word of promoting the show. So that's all I have to say about that, but let's get right into the topic tonight, which is technology. And this is a pretty big thing to think about, because technology surrounds us. It's rapidly changed our lives in a really short amount of time. I mean, the world was relatively unchanged till a little over 100 years ago. And all of a sudden, things just started to ramp up into this new world. And new world is something I want to kind of flesh out later if I can remember. New world order, of course, as well. But this is part of it. This is the times that rapid change has come on Earth in the last 100 years. And I think about my great-grandmother, who lived a very long time. I was able to get to, you know, meet her before she passed, and grow up with her at least for half my life. And she lived to 107, and she died in just about 7 years ago. So. She got to see the most change out of anybody, any generation of people on planet Earth. Nobody has witnessed that right there, that whole ramp up of technology and change of life like that on this planet. So I always think about her because it started out, I mean, she was born when people were still riding horse and carriage. And then going from that to cars, and then flight, then people start flying airplanes, and radio was invented, and motion pictures. To see all this just come about, things that we just see today in everyday life, and you're just like, well, whatever. It wasn't that long ago. You know, she went through two world wars, saw the atomic bomb, television in your house, from going from going to movie theaters to actual television, live vision coming right into your home, and men in space on the moon, which question mark on the end of that, because who knows really that official story, and that's there's a lot of things we just don't know. But you know, computers, I mean, a computer was the size of your whole house at one time, and now you got it inside your phone, you know, and in the internet, what a big change that, and that's come within just my life. I've seen the internet, you know, from go from, it didn't exist till, you know, in my, I was a late teen, and it came into effect. So, and then to have your smartphone, and just this whole jump in technology, and to see that in one life she saw that, and so that's kind of just shows you how quick this has all come up. Just one life had seen all this. I mean, by the time she died, Wi-Fi was getting into everywhere, and that wasn't really that long ago. Now it's just everywhere, and it's just part of everything. But really, how long ago was that? Not long. So it's just amazing, and it is something to think about. You know, what goes up must come down. The faster it goes up, the faster it goes down, kind of thing. It's just one of those things to think about, because it has come up so fast. And so we are now losing, and have been losing, the last people that spoke to the last people before this new world. We are losing the people that knew what the freer Earth was, and the older Earth was before this. We've lost just about everybody, and so they're, in fact, they're not even the ones, more so the people that we're losing and have been losing are the last people who spoke to the last people that were actually free. Where did it all come from? How did all this just suddenly just ramp up? You know, you have basically an unchanged world, and then all of a sudden, things just are technologically advanced. It's kind of mind blowing. So where did it come from? Well, you know, if you look into official sources, well, of course, it's the Industrial Revolution, and that started in England, and it started with things like the steam engine, the invention of the steam engine to transport, train, and goods across land much faster. And England has many ports, so you have a lot of areas to carry goods to the rest of the world. And that's where a lot of commerce came in, and trade. And so you have England as a very important part. And, of course, the elite established themselves there, and so wherever they established, this kind of thing is going to come from, which is important to think about. But business became more expensive, so as things became you know, more advanced, business became more expensive. So private banks were needed to supply money to the people who wanted to start businesses, and this is where the elite came in. And I really think the elite, you know, put in this technology for that reason, so that we could be reliant on them to take the money out from them and start businesses, because business became more expensive. It wasn't just simple bartering and trading anymore. And so this started a really awful mentality. I sometimes call it the Onceler mentality, if you've ever read the book The Lorax. And I've actually never even seen the newer CGI version of that or whatever. But I as a kid, grew up reading the Dr. Seuss books, the Lorax. And the Onceler, if you don't know, is the bad guy in there. He's the guy with the green arms. You never see his face. He starts this business making these useless, weird outfits that good for everything out of these trees, the truffula trees. And so this mentality to use up everything without caution came in, and they used up everything on in this area and polluted it and destroyed it. And that's a mentality that has come from this Industrial Revolution that is, yeah, destroying planet Earth. One of my all-time favorite movies, and I'm going to do a movie show pretty soon too, But one of my favorite movies is The Gods Must Be Crazy. If you're unfamiliar with the movie, it's an older movie now. It's from 1980, I think it is. And so it's a South African movie where a tribe of the Sand People, or they call the Bushmen, are completely isolated, have never seen civilized man. And then an airplane pilot drops a Coke bottle out of the plane from high altitude, and it lands into their domain, and they've never seen anything like it, and it disturbs and disrupts their whole way of life, because they were given something that is not in nature, and there's only one of it, and they found so many uses for it. And anyway, great movie. But the point I'm getting to is, the man built his environment to suit him, and so the narrator gives you a point of view from the point that if you were a Bushman listening to it. So it's kind of cool how the narration goes, because he's talking about how civilized man built the world to suit him, and so that's what has spawned this crazy world. Instead of letting the world and nature supply us, we decided to build it to suit us, and so it's a backwards way of thinking, and it's caused this downward spiral that we're in. And so this train of thought has taken people out of their homes and brought them to go to work every day, which have gone over a lot, and brought us into deeper slavery. Why all of a sudden did technology happen? And this is a question that needs to be asked, and I would like to, I'll do a show where we go deeper into this. These shows here are kind of just hammering down the basics of what I call the chant down. So when I come back later, we'll do continuous shows, then I'm going to just go straight into these subjects without any caution and really flesh out. I mean, because that's a good question. Where did all this come from, and why all of a sudden in these last 100 some years? Well, some people refer to reverse engineering of possible, a UFO crash and the technology that came from elsewhere. And it is definitely possible. And I do entertain the thought and come back to that. And I'm not afraid to go there, and we will. But not today, because I feel that would go to derailment of topic and too far off topic to stay on track. But what some things to consider, especially when you get into computers, is there, if you do some research, there's no evolution of the circuit board. It didn't start out as this one thing, then go to this next thing. It started out as the circuit board. And same with titanium and fiber optics and the invention of lasers, the microchip. All of this was suddenly put forward at the same time in 1958. So it's something to consider. I think that the elite have always had this knowledge, and they just decided to release it in a time when man started to be ready for it, ripe and ready. So I believe the Industrial Revolution came from the elite and their hidden knowledge, not to improve the lives of the masses, but to trap them with desires and dissatisfaction, so we forget about spiritual and earth connections. So we're so busy working, as we are today, that we don't even get there. And that's a huge thing to think about. And I think they needed the Industrial Revolution to enslave inhabitants on Earth under a single power, which has, been their plan in the making for a long time. I believe that, the technology in these people's hands has and that's their exact plan. Let me, go over a few things here that it's not like I'm saying technology is all bad, but it isn't exactly what we want. And this mentality behind it is certainly not what we want. And as I always say on the show, we go back to nature, and we will. But technology itself is just a tool. Yes, the elite, they control it, so therefore it is used against us more than anything. But technology itself is neutral. I mean, if you are not destroying the planet and and not giving back the resources, then that's not good. But if you're not destroying the planet, then it's fine. I mean, there are some good things to take from technology. I mean, it's nice to have running water, hot water, take yourself a shower. Washing machines. I mean, those are important inventions that would kind of suck if we didn't have them, you know? And I mean, me as a musician, I found things to be pretty convenient in the more modern times, as I'd been doing music, is you can have a home recording studio. Instead of have to go to some expensive studio, you can do it yourself at your home. And so doing music, it's nice to have a home studio and not have to go pay somebody hourly for recording sessions. Things like that, and, you know, cars for road trips. Yeah, it's nice to see more of the planet and jet travel and see things that you would take normally a long, long time when you can see a lot more. And the good things with technology, too. Maybe some of the most important would be some of the medical findings and understandings of our body and how it works, but not to say that we didn't know already. And the indigenous peoples of Earth didn't know, and some of the Eastern studies that are much older that understood the body and the different energy systems and meridian lines and all that. That too is older than a lot this modern Western medicine. But the good things within Western medicine that is good is diagnostics and surgeries. You know, because there's a lot of things that do happen to us, but also, because of this technologically advanced world, more things like that do happen, unfortunately. But it's good. I mean, this is an interesting time to live in because we have the Internet. The Internet accesses the world's information, and it's just a matter of you typing in something, and there it is. It's so easy. It's amazing that we can, if we want, develop our brains and do research on the Internet and get smarter. And I don't think that's the only way to do it, and I think that a lot of people are losing the fact that reading a book is actually very important, and I think a lot of people do Internet research, which I don't agree with, but, you know, it's a great thing to have there. It's a great tool. For once on Earth's history, the world's information is in one place. So there is some good to that, and of course, there's the other things like living in intolerable conditions. I mean, you have heat and for cold winters, or AC for the real hot places, and those are things that are definitely great inventions that help our life better. And I mean, I wouldn't be able to do this radio show if there wasn't technology. So those are some of the good things that I just kind of wanted to get out of the way before chanting it down here, so to understand that there are good inventions and worthy things out of this technology to take from. But as a whole, as we look into it, there's a lot to see here, and I think that it's important to flesh it out a little bit. You know, what technology? So what is it doing to us? That's the important thing to understand. If you were to meet somebody from, let's say, those days that I'm talking about, the old days, and see how they were, you would have to compare. There's nobody to compare anymore. But what is it doing? So that's the important thing to check out here. You know, technology is supposed to make our lives easier. And, well, is it? Well, it's supposed to help us by making these labor-saving devices. And if you think about it, is it making our lives easier? We're given these labor-saving devices so we have more time to work. Basically, that's what it is. So, yeah, we don't want to wash our clothes. We don't want to wash our clothes by hand and do our dishes by hand, because we don't have time. We have to go to work. So it's kind of just made labor-saving devices so we have more time to work and make money and get into the money trance. Does it take you and make you forget about nature? That's a very important question to ask yourself. Do you feel like it supplies you with a connection to nature? And I would say it probably doesn't, you know. It takes away natural ways of doing things. It makes us dumber in the way that we rely on devices and machines to do our work. Is life really easier? I mean, I kind of don't think so. I believe human beings have never been more stressed out than this time right now, more stressed out, traumatized in all of Earth's history than right now. So how is that making life easier? Is it creating a good life for us? You know, it's a combination of things. But yeah, we're traumatized, and I'll get into that in a little bit. But let's take a look at cars, for example. This is just like an example of the invention of a car that sure, it gets you to and fro from work and other places, and mainly that's what it was invented for, is so we can get to work and we can live farther distances, or, you know, maybe our work is far away or whatever. But it's become a hassle. It's become completely the opposite of what it's supposed to be. I mean, really, I'm speaking maybe from a more negative standpoint because I live here in Honolulu. We have America's second worst traffic, and sometimes the first. We battle L.A. on our waiting time to vehicle. And I've gone over this on the show already, but, I mean, it's awful here. You sit in traffic for so long, and things move so slow, and we're so congested. We have so many cars on this island. It's ridiculous. So getting somewhere and doing that almost defeats the purpose of having a vehicle. I hate the saying that driving is a privilege. I hate that. I hate when people mimic that and copy it, because it's not. It's not a privilege. They act like you have to earn driving. Well, yeah, you want to be responsible. You don't want to be going around being a reckless driver. But the ridiculous things that come with just trying to get yourself on the road. And oh, man, here in Hawaii, we have one of the most messed up systems with this driving. We have a sticker called a safety check. And what the safety check is a sticker that you got to get on your vehicle before you renew your registration. So I just recently dealt with this, and makes me so angry. I just wanted to punch a hole in the wall. I really did. I wanted to actually knock somebody out. I had a horrible experience with this safety check system, because they go around your car and make sure the typical things like lights and brakes, lights and blinker and, oh, you know, horn and all those things are in working order. But they also make you do things that are just ridiculous. Like, for example, my window wouldn't roll down all of a sudden, and it has a problem of sticking. Okay, so it wouldn't roll down, so they won't give me the sticker. So I have to get the window fixed, so I have to spend more money just to get that fixed so I can go get that stupid sticker, then go get my registration. And by the time I finish that whole string of events, I've probably spent about $500 just to renew the car, just to have a sticker, just to drive. And that's a privilege, you know? I'm sick of it. I can't believe people still fall for this world and are not extremely pissed off, because I am. And, you know, the stupid-ass guy that I went and got the safety check from, I could tell he's just trying to play by the rules, and he's just afraid of getting in trouble. He's an order follower, and he wouldn't communicate very well with me at all. And so I'm trying to ask him, did I pass? And he just sits down and he's doing his thing, and he has me wait for 15 minutes just to tell me that my window won't roll down. So I was pissed. So luckily my window did roll down as soon as I left the service station, and so I just did a U-turn, came back. I'm like, look, my window does roll down, so check it out. Give me the sticker. So But now they have these new standards where they have to take pictures of your car inside, out, and all the serial numbers. And it's just more Big Brother. It's just more invasive. And just to get this sticker that's $25, they raise the price so you can get your registration. And this kind of thing, this creeping into our lives, people don't stop and go, hey, we don't want this. They just deal with it, and they just let it get more and more invasive. And that's going to be a big topic within this whole section here on technology. It's invasive. And I mean, just to rant here on driving, I know I'm sort of getting off topic, but it is on topic too, because all the stupid situations that cars put us in. I mean, we get in these situations where maybe you're trying to back up into a spot, parking spot, but the person behind you doesn't know and doesn't understand that you're going to do that. So there's these miscommunications, and when people step behind vehicles, they turn into somebody else, and it's all about selfishness, and it's all about me, I got to go my way, you get out of my way, and it's totally unnatural. I mean, yeah, it's like that in all cities, and people just go, oh, whatever, just deal with it, that's just how it is. Well, that's a root problem, and people don't like to look at root problems in society, as you know. I mean, I think cars are horrible. I have to drive one, but I hate it sometimes. I mean, they kill people. Car accidents kill more people a year than just about anything else. I think that one and cancer are just, like, right up there battling for first spot. And, I mean, so many pets I've lost to cars hitting them over the years, my, you know, cats and dogs that I've had in my life. And that's one of the saddest things that you can ever witness is seeing your own pet that you love get smashed by a car or afterward. And I mean, it's just an awful thing to even think about and have to deal with. But yeah, all the animals that the animal kingdom gets destroyed by cars. I mean, innocent animals. Just yesterday, this is just on my mind, I saw a lady hit a wild chicken. She just ran over it, and she didn't. I know. I looked at her in the eyes. She knew. I knew that she hit the chicken, but she didn't stop, and she just kept going. And the chicken, you know, luckily was taken out immediately, so it didn't suffer too much. But just to think that she just ran over a living being, and she doesn't care. So, you know, she should at least go back and put it on the side of the road, give it a better burial so it decomposes, you know, apologize to it or something. But no, people don't have that connection. They're lost. And that shows you where we're at. It does. The chant down and the awakening is much deeper than just knowing about what the elite are doing. But, yeah, vehicles, I mean, pollute the atmosphere. And I know that there are tons of propaganda that the elite push against, you know, the carbon tax, but still, I don't like pollution, and it's disgusting, and I'm not down with it whatsoever. And people that, I mean, oh, it just goes on and on. I can rant forever, but it's just the dumb situations that people get into cars. Even when you're like trying to be in a parking lot, someone's waiting for the spot, got their blinker on, but they're blocking your way of getting past. I mean, that pisses me off. I just feel like that this is just a selfish world of people in these vehicles, these death boxes, really. But just a rant that I just have to say that's just one look at how this modern technology, which I consider cars within that too, kind of really just destroy the world and really don't give us exactly what we want. I mean, you got to pay to do everything with a car. You know, all the expenses that come with it, to fuel, to registering it, to insurance. And by the time you get done with that, that's just more slavery. It really is. But let's look at what these devices are doing. What is all this doing to us, this technology? Well, it's definitely not creating a good environment for us to be in, you know, with traffic. I mean, who likes to sit in traffic and all? But what else is technology doing? Well, I like to take a look at these devices that everybody's on, these smartphones, computers, and this quickly rising technology in our lives. This is something to take the bigger look at, because here we have this fast-moving system of things I mean, already my phone is outdated, and I bought it, you know, two years ago. And it's just this fast-moving world here. And it makes us forget about the natural world, and that's the thing. Instead, we focus on the world fashioned and focused through the minds and hands of men. So we are stuck in these devices. I mean, look around anywhere you go, and what are people doing? Sitting in an airport, crosswalk, texting. They're in their phone. Their life's in there. And I've gone over this many times on the show, but here we chant it down fully. What it does to us, these devices, is it destroys the inner world. It destroys your imagination because it's creating it for you. And it destroys your intuition. It destroys the things that you could be using inside you, but instead you're so busy on your phone, you're forgetting about these things. And just like a foreign language, if you don't speak it and use it, you forget it. Well, it's the same thing with your imagination, your intuition, and we already lose our imagination through going through the indoctrination system. Well, now we have these things helping us further that along from losing creative play, and that's so important. And it destroys our ability to appreciate the outer surroundings, too, to appreciate the simple beauty. Instead of sitting at a bus stop in your phone, what about taking in the surroundings? See, I've been a person who's walked I used to be more of a wanderer, and I would, you know, walk the earth as much as I could, and I've gone over that on the shows, and just I've seen and observed life, and I would write down what I observed. I decided to just be completely free, and I didn't want, you know, anything holding me down, even a love relationship. I thought, well, I just want to do my thing and be me. And I would just journal, and this is where a lot of this stuff comes from, is this information I'm giving you now is just me regurgitating what I've observed. And how few people do that? So we don't observe and appreciate our outer surroundings. That's why I always say that I always give the psychedelic experience for those that would like to go there, that is a real must. I think it's really important, because what it helps you do is appreciate simple beauty. You could take a leaf and you could just look at the back and all the designs it makes. And in normal mindset, you just go, that's a leaf, whatever. But you don't appreciate the simple beauty. And that's the important thing that we are losing. And of course, faster with these devices. You know, it gives you a lack of awareness in the living and breathing organic nature of this planet. That's basically what it does. It gives us a lack of awareness of the bigger picture. And, of course, they want us in the smaller picture, and they don't want us connected to nature, because then you get connected to truth, and that's where we find truth, is in nature. We increasingly live in a human-made virtual reality where we don't get to see past that. A lot of times we increasingly, you know, I mean, what do people do? They got their devices with them at work. They go to work. They go home and they watch TV and go to bed. And that is an average person's life. And you know, sounds negative, but it's the truth. And the rest of the time you have, basically, you're just playing upkeep to upkeep this life, do all your housework and chores and grocery shop and blah blah blah. But here we are increasingly living in a human-made reality that we don't often get to escape. Human-made virtual reality, as it's becoming. And as we get sucked more and more into this technology sphere, we become less and less able to understand what we're inside of. That's a common problem with a lot of things, is we get so absorbed and wrapped up in the system's tentacles that we don't even realize what we're wrapped up in, because you can't see the system like you can a physical thing. It surrounds us, yet we don't even know what it is. A lot of people. But I say that what I see the most is kids these days in these devices. I mean, I see these kids in grade school and middle school with these cell phones already. I'm like, what? I can't believe that. Putting them up to their head, and I'll get into that too. But, you know, most kids of today will have no conscious memory of a time without one of these little devices. And they'll have no conscious memory without instant connection to the world's information. So what is that creating? That's something that I can't even answer totally, but it is creating an interesting culture that is going to be less and less attached to nature and more detached and more into this human-made virtual reality. I mean, a larger percentage of what these kids digest through their brain will come through a device, not human interaction. So we're losing our ability to communicate on a human level. And that is tearing into the fabric, the important fabric of our daily communication to our fellow brothers and sisters. So we have to start to see, you know, these devices as what they are. But see, these kids start to see the devices as who they are. Less concerned with the physical connection around them, they start to identify with these devices. And that's something that is on the rise. This generation of kids now are going to be most acceptant of the new things to come. And I'll come back to that. That's very important. Remember that. Because, yes, these kids are not going to battle the things that are going to come in. They're going to be used to it, this merging together of man and machine. I mean, do you see as many kids playing outside as much? I mean, I don't. Do you see people playing tag as much, hide and seek? What about board games? Do kids even play board games anymore or build forts? Or do you see them running? I mean, yes, they do a bit, but how much time do you see kids on these screens, on these devices? And it really has this younger generation the most. And it's a really sad thing. But then there's the other concern. I mean, not just the removing ourselves from nature and our natural surroundings, which is huge, but the other thing is the health impact. I mean, cancer is a huge killer, and I'm sure a great portion comes from technology itself. Like I was saying, it's like automobiles and cancer are like neck and neck for number one killers in the world, and both come from technology. And so is it making our lives easier? Well, let's look into that. I mean, I've kind of already talked about it on this show before, but the whole cell phone radiation issue, I believe in 20 years from now or less, that people are going to start getting brain tumors and cancer all over the place from these cell phones. It's not like an instant that when you're talking on your phone for 5-10 years now, you just develop cancer. It's down the line. It's the same thing with cigarettes. It's going to be the new cigarettes. You know, you look at the just watch any movies from like the 50s and 60s. Everybody's smoking cigarettes, 70s even, but you know, it's just a social acceptance. Well, then now look, you know, everybody died of lung cancer from that generation. Well, it's the same thing. It's going to be the new cigarettes. I mean, all this energy in the device coming from satellites and all this power right up to your head. People don't really think about that stuff, you know, because it's just been integrated into everyday life. My friend was at work, and he decided to he's in the break room, that's what it was, and he put his cell phone down next to a few others, and there happened to be a popcorn kernel from leftover from whoever was making lunch somewhere, and there were three phones, and he put his down there, and as he's sitting down there, the popcorn kernel popped and turned into popcorn. And I'm not lying to you, this is full truth, this is what happened, and it's just all that power right there. And just think about that. Now, all that power right up to your head. I mean, I met a kid, this little girl and the mother. She had a tumor removed right above her ear. And the mother just didn't get it. She didn't understand that talking on the phone may have caused that tumor. They don't know where it came from. Well, she still puts her phone up to her kid's ear. Kids can't handle the same radiation levels as adults. We shouldn't have any radiation, but kids' skulls are thinner. They haven't grown in as thick, so they have less to protect themselves of penetrating radiation. And so kids are especially susceptible to this. And that's why I was saying how I was like looking at these grade school and middle school kids with these cell phones on their heads, and they don't know control. They don't know caution. They don't know when to say, oh, this is enough. I can feel this thing burning my brain. No, they don't have that built in yet. That's just kids. So they're gonna talk on these phones, and yeah, it's just it's not good. Absolutely. They used to tell you not to get too close to the TV screens. I mean, when I was growing up, they would tell you not to touch screen, get up there and watch TV too close because you get radiation. That's what I was told. Well, now we touch screens every day. We're immersed in a system that requires a cell phone. I mean, it used to be that just drug dealers had cell phones, and I bought one during that era, and not to say that I wasn't doing the same sort of thing to make money at times, because I've been through that, and the world's not always offering the right ways to make money. But say, you know, I remember buying during that time, the late 90s, where, you know, only basically drug dealers and people like that had cell phones. And now, you know, everybody's got them. But it's like if you don't have one, that's pretty weird. But, you know, touching the screen, I too get into this. I have to – I'm immersed in this too. So when I'm touching the screen and I'm going through it with my finger, I feel – My fingers feel itchy after a while, and after texting a bunch, I feel that feeling, and that's not good. That couldn't be good. I think, you know, even just the touch screen after a while probably is not good. And all this this technology that's come in recent years, I'm talking maybe just even the last 30 years. How do we know? It's not even fully investigated. Like wireless internet, you have this. This device, you think about it, it's a device in your house that's pulsating a frequency that allows you to connect to the world's information anywhere in your house. It just doesn't seem like that would be good. And it hasn't been around long enough, if you do any research, to give us the right answer on that. But, yeah, Gwyn Towers, these things penetrate us with all different electromagnetic frequencies, TV towers, HDD TV boxes, and smart meters. You know, we've gone over that. All that is in our same atmosphere, and even power lines themselves. I remember growing up, and I knew a kid who grew up with leukemia, and that's because his house was built right underneath one of those larger metal power lines next to the freeway. And yeah, he grew up with leukemia. So that is the life we live in, and we just keep on living in this crazy world that technology itself kills us off. I mean, power lines, car emissions. It's not good to breathe exhaust every day. If you live in a place like L.A., where you can just see that brown smog, how good is that for your lungs and your health? And how good is it to breathe all this every day? It couldn't be too good. Of course, it's carcinogenic anyway. We know that. I mean, people actually kill themselves on purpose by breathing in the exhaust and doing that. And, I mean, it goes on and on, of course. And then there's the elite's technology and all that with the chemtrails, you know, the spraying of our skies almost every day. You get that pollution and HARP and all these other ionospheric heaters that are penetrating our domain as well. And that is a huge issue. That's why I've spent special shows just fleshing that out. Listen to episode 6. That is one of the most valuable episodes on this radio show so far. I go into some and I'll go more into this later anyway. But yeah, I go into some important things with this whole spraying of our skies issue here, and how all this technology it invades, it goes past our blood-brain barrier, which is our defense against a lot of things, and it also even helps calcify your pineal gland, which is an important thing to connect you with consciousness. And of course it does, and of course it's designed for that, of course. So the health impact is huge. Just, I like to throw out solutions as much as I can, because I don't want to just bring you down. And I know my show at times can be gloom and doom when I go over a lot of these things. But it's to know is your empowerment, and even better to know is some ways of battling it back. So some solutions to getting this radiation and this modern technology out of us and help us go along. It's one thing I recommend is noni juice. And noni juice is from a plant also known as Indian mulberry. And it's very potent and it tastes horrible, but it's one of the best things for you. It helps clear out electromagnetic radiation, amongst many other things. And if you drink it every day, you do feel pretty good. And I do recommend that. I mean, and just something you can do, get far out in nature. Get past all the cell phone towers, past all the power lines, the towers of all sorts, the whole electromagnetic grid. Get out as far as you can and take in nature. Don't bring your cell phone. I know they always are like, hey, make sure if you get lost, bring your cell phone. Well, I'm going to give you just the opposite advice. Don't get lost. Know your way around. Don't bring your cell phone. Go out far and get into nature. And if you're not one that ever does, it's time you do, because you need to find out and feel that feeling, what it's like to be away from the electromagnetic grid. It is electromagnetic smog, which I've gone over more in detail on episode 19, which is the excitotoxin system tentacle episode. So, you know, listen to that. But a couple solutions to take a bath in Epsom salt. Pour a whole bag of that in there and squeeze about 6 lemons and soak yourself in that. That's good after x-rays. That's good after going through the airport and their body scanners. It's just a way of neutralizing yourself, bringing you back to zero again. And the ocean, if you have that available, jump in the ocean if it's not too cold for you. That's another one. And spirulina, that's a good one. And iodine, zinc, vitamin B complex, vitamins, B-complex vitamins, selenium. Those are some things to help. And then with episode 6, I went into actual solutions of getting the chemtrail gunk out of you and help that with the wine rinse. So I recommend listening to that one at a certain point in time as well. But that's just the impact of what this is doing. But let's take a little break, and when I come back, let's get into it, this, and flesh it out and go some levels deeper and turn it on its head and chant it down.
Before we go on, let me explain the next part of our trip.
Consciousness is a feeling that bothers you when the ground is up above you. These are shots from all the struggles, so pathetic, kitchen victims falling deep in monotony. So receptive to the feelings, so hectic are the dealings of the feelings without meaning, no redeeming value that allows you to feel the fist of the system. Gives you teeny ounces, keeps you malnutrition to try to fix it. You're searching for something above and beyond, but something is wrong. So you sit back and kick it, but a six-pack and flip it got you reacting so different. What happened to getting so happy when tipsy? A satisfied image would gratify living the life you live. But times have changed around, the excitement tapered down. Now it's time to break on out of this vapor cloud. Hike or take a browse through the jungles of force, or to the nearest sacred ground and assemble the soul. Echo the thoughts that got you off in the search to emerge, to have a cause or purpose, cause it's fierce and God awaits you. But into that often breaks you with visions and observations for instructions to real life.
It's nice to find a link that goes beyond the carnal mind and ways that we control.
It's a point where it's an issue, cause what's been given to you is a choice to discontinue. And a voice that lives within you says, see past what you see past, or freaks you out, cause it seems past what you see past, so seek it out.
We are nomadic, we're not supposed to stay stagnant. We got to leave behind baggage, so don't grow. But once we get past it all and the universe catches us, we get back on the path of our own soul.
It's seizing your consciousness.
practice of feeding their bodies. You win the ground is up above you. These are shots from all the struggles of the repetition. Victims falling deep in monotony. So receptive to the feelings, cause so hectic are the dealings. Who remain the same way when the daily grind is wasting time. Cause life is blurry, so kind of blurry. Stop the fight to stay inspired. And you feel so fucking tied. You are always so assigned. Who there's a lot to pick and find. Human imaginary lines. True to keep us in and sinking in the pitfalls and grooves. We fallen and got swallowed in. And then stop confusion saying, how did I trip so far? You need to take a trip by car. Hitchhike walk, it might cost just a small expenditure though. If you're lost at the end of your rope, or if you haven't seen it to go with the choice of being nomadic, taking trips and voyage or planet, it's nice to open up your eyelids. Don't be afraid to fly through a smoker up the rise. Be like Kane and Kung Fu, there's so much that resides. If you rise and escape to see a world on a bigger level, yeah, it'll make you think and emerge from imprisoned shackles. Just laughing, advancing, and glancing back and having culture shock. And that's a slap of an answer, but that's the fact of the matter when fantasizing and sacrificing with the trip to go beyond. We are nomadic, we're not supposed to stay stagnant. We got to leave behind baggage or don't grow. But once we get past it all and the universe catches us, we get back on the path of our own soul. Beat by DJ Charlie Chaz. Departures.
So you have this Earth that has been quickly changed in the last 100 years. We have this planet that has been gone and ramped up into an insanely different world from 150 years ago, the Industrial Revolution that started. And I went over already how the elite were the ones who put this into place. And the global elite have put this into place to help their agenda go along. And their agenda is entirely different than yours, and it's an entirely different world in which they live in. These elite bankers, these families that have been running the planet or trying to for a long time, have succeeded pretty well, and they've been able to push in this technology. And this technology they use, it's in their hands. And I mean, they own the energy sources. They own your electricity grid, the fossil fuels. They've been directing its evolution the whole time and furthering it, and the quickening is happening now. And so they're the owners of the media. They've never had it so good. With mind control, that device in your house is your hypnotizing box that tells you how to think, how to act, how to walk, how to live on planet Earth. That's where you get your examples and samples, and that's what happens is, and I've gone over that already in the media mind control show, and now we're deep up into this system tentacles, but how they interconnect so well. I mean, how traumatized, as I mentioned earlier, we've never been so stressed out and traumatized in our lives. And partly due to the fact that traumatizing comes from the movies and the video games. I mean, as a kid, for example, I remember being so afraid of certain images that had come from movies. My biggest fears came from movies, these scary movies and images that I saw that I had nowhere to process. So somewhere within you, all of us are traumatized from these images that we've seen. And they're not things that are always too good for us. And you might say, oh, well, I can handle it. I can see that. But your subconscious and sensitive side doesn't know exactly where to put it, and that's a big problem. And these video games these days, you know, some of the horrific video games and the shooting that goes on mindlessly in these video games, no connection to another human being because it's not a human. But in this life, how do you differentiate after a while if you play those games? Something to think about, you know. I mean, this media, they've definitely, just the media itself, I mean, they they definitely own it. And you can tell if you know what to look for, especially because they're dark occultists, and they put in their satanic gestures all throughout and symbolisms of black magic throughout this whole grid, including not just TV, but just the symbolisms every day. Listen to Freeman. Freeman's awesome at that and breaking it down. I've had him on the show, freemantv.com. He goes over, you know, check out his corporate logos breakdown. You know, this is all great information to know because it's right around you, you know. But they're the ones pushing it forward. And these black budget projects that you're funding with your taxes and is what's going on. And a huge thing is the chemtrail issue, like I was just explaining. I mean, this is a huge issue. You're getting sprayed by chemicals every day. Most people have no idea that the chemtrails are happening. And, well, as I've gone into, it's a different mixture of agendas there. There's the weather control, geoengineering, which are more the obvious and more easier things to look into. But there's also the whole transhumanism agenda mixed in with chemtrails, which we'll get into. And they're using their technology against us on a daily basis, and that's invasive. That's destroying your rights, and it's not their right to do that to you. And I, you know, believe that these are all not manned planes, but I think they're controlled by remote control. And you got so much they're doing behind the scenes. We don't even know. So much we don't even know. But what we can see on the surface, like these ionospheric heaters, there's not just HARP, there's others in the world that are, you know, heating up the atmosphere, messing things up. I mean, global warming, well, let's take a look into this whole system of weather control and ionospheric heating before you just decide that the planet's heating up from fossil fuels. You know, something to think about, a lot to think about there. But just what they do, and, I mean, surveillance to the utmost, and ridiculous now, cameras every intersection. And check out London, the most watched city in the world. I mean, but that is just what the U.S. and other places are copying. They're all copying that. Now there's more cameras than ever, and I mean it's everywhere. And cameras can be so small, and there's so much that they want to track you everywhere because these are control freaks. They want you to control your life down to every little detail, and they want to see you all the time and understand what you're doing and your patterns. And I mean, look, your cell phone has a camera, and if it's one of the, you know, more advanced ones, it's going to have a camera lens on both sides, which could be turned on and at any time while you're driving or whatever you're doing, and there's no privacy. And there's the internet surveillance with Tracebook. Yeah, I said Tracebook because you're looking at a way to track everybody and who's friends with who. I mean, that is so blatant control and so blatant of a way to survey you. It's an unbelievable that people don't think like that. I know most people are conspiracy minded, but you have to really take a look at that and say, wow, you know, if you wanted to know all about somebody's life, what they do, where they go, who they're friends with, it's just a simple way. It's just like hey kids, get to know your friends on Facebook. Yeah, let's see who everybody's related to, and it's just the perfect way for that all-seeing eye to spy in. The New World Order, you know, is this and more. I mean, the New World Order is playing God over the natural world. It's the control of everything natural, and it's coming into the control of every detail of our lives. Invasive technologies to retina scanning to fingerprint scanning. I mean, what DNA testing, I mean, that is where it's going, and people don't question, don't stop, and they continue on this agenda because it's so fun and it's so available, and it's we're waiting for the next iPhone. Yay! Well, take a look at this, and a lot of people are kind of blind to this one. This is the transhumanism agenda, and you might hear about it, and if you know about it, then I'm just giving you a review. But the transhumanism is the merging of man and machine, and I've kind of got into this already just on the show, but it all is coming from, if you trace it back, from large corporations and elite universities, and it's the merging together of us and this technology as one. And it's always, the elite are always pushing the direction of where they want things to go. And if you look into this, it's pretty obvious. I mean, Ray Kurzweil is a great person to research on that. He's the director of engineering at Google. And he looks at life extension technologies. One great movie, and I've had the creator on, is Transformation. And that is Max Egan, the Australian filmmaker, must see. And listen to the guy anyway. He's brilliant. So I would recommend checking that out. But here's where the whole chemtrail situation comes into this. And if you don't know about this, then, again, I recommend you listen to Episode 6, where I had an insider give me a lot of information on what they're doing with that. The whole dropping of these microscopic fibers that form a network in our bodies. Some people call Morgellons, and some people call the wire, and all these different nicknames, I suppose. But there are these polymer fibers that are, growing in our body on purpose. This is transhumanism. So it gets into that a little bit in Transformation, but I get into that a lot too, and ways to take it out of your body. So again, Episode 6 is a very valuable show. I just feel like I could derail things too far if I get into all that detail here. But they want us. They are guinea pigging. We're part of experiments, and they want us to be merged in with the machines. I don't even think they want to be part of the machines. They want us to be part of these machines, as you'll see here. I mean, transhumanists believe that they will be able to, believe that they will be able to transform themselves into superior beings with expanded capabilities. Well, I would question that and say it's more likely that they're not so much trying to do that. I think they already have that technology. I think they want us to think that that's what's going to happen to us, and maybe they'll give us a little bit of those nuggets of technology if we take the certain direction they want us to go. Because if you notice, there's always a force pushing this direction of technology. And this force wants a one-world government and everyone microchips. And you may know that, and you may not know that. And you may think that sounds ridiculous, but how ridiculous is it really? Have you ever done any research? Everybody that I ever have as a doubter talking to me about, I'm trying to tell them about whatever is going on planet Earth, and they're a doubter, I ask them one simple question. Have you ever done any research? And even if they don't immediately admit it, they haven't. So how are they supposed to even come with an educated guess? And so this check out biohackers, which are people who actually want a chip embedded in their body, and they want to connect to all the machines. One great film to check out in that I've watched is called Predictive Programming and the Microchip Agenda. And so that is something to take a look at how they're pushing this into the general population. They want people to take the chip. And how far are we really away from that? I don't think we're all that far at all. Dr. Mark Gasson, he's at the University of Reading in the UK. He has implanted a chip to control all of his devices inside his body. He's implanted a chip. And he even got infected with a computer virus this guy has been experimenting for a long time, and he believes that one day it will mirror cell phones. It'll be such an inconvenience to not have an implant that it'll essentially not be optional. And that's very possible. As you see, that how cell phones came in, as I was saying, now everybody has one. And if you don't have one, it's just a big inconvenience. Well, that's a possible way that these chips could be taken in to our society, you know. And it sounds very disgusting, I would say, to anybody who has even a little bit of sense to want to put a chip in your body. But look where the world's going. Look at it. More of a realistic scenario to me, though, is a catastrophe. If we had a big meltdown on Earth here, a breakdown of all of our devices and technology, I believe that if they brought it back, or maybe there was a disease outbreak, they're like, here, we need this. If you take this chip, you can get back into this whole technology. We still have it, but you got to take the chip. That's how it works. It's probably going to be more like this, or take this chip so you can survive. That's more like where it might be more acceptant for everybody. But you can see this cashless society coming in. You don't have to be a researcher to figure this stuff out. I mean, go on any airline. You can't book a flight without a credit card. You can't pay for anything on a flight. It's cashless. And if you go enough places, there's, and of course, the cashierless check stands. So when you go to a grocery store, you have that option too. And more places are doing it. In fact, in my world travels, my international travels, I've noticed that other countries are sort of ahead of the U.S. and that they have like one checker that's a human, and everything else is the machine, and you just use that, and it's happening quicker. So this is a quickening. Kids of today, though, in the possibility that it just will be this inconvenience if you don't have the chip, they're going to be more acceptance to this way of life. Like, you know, they'll just be like, yeah, I'll take the chip. Why not? I already have this device with me all the time. It's going to be more accepted to the younger generation who's totally immersed in this technology than it is just the more adults of today who will be a little more cautious. Here, so I saw this video. I saw this commercial, and it's called HealthLink. You can check it out online. HealthLink uses a chip to help access your medical info. So it's their latest thing. And the commercial, if this isn't brainwash, then I don't know what is. This commercial, it's got the nice sentimental slow music, and you have people holding up this tiny chip, and they've all had it embedded in them, and they give you the reasons, like they have a grandpa like, because I love my kids, that's why he got the chip. Or another lady's like, or another guy's like, because I forget to take my medication, that's why he got the chip. And it has this slow music, and everybody's so happy in this commercial, and there's this young girl, she's like, because my car lost control while I was driving. And another guy's like, because I was diabetic. And so it shows everyone close and loving, and they're trying to play on the heartstrings with this commercial. They're bringing it into the home. I mean, how evil is that? How messed up is that one? And that's how they do it. That's how they get you. And it's amazing how many people would actually do that. And there's that movie Predictive Programming and the Microchip Agenda. It just states the obvious. You can see it for yourself. This isn't some way out there conspiracy. This is coming into our lives very fast. And people need to hurry up and take a stand and chant it down. And it doesn't seem like they are. Not at all. Everything in one is this kind of is my theory here is the addiction to everything in one. This is how this will play in this microchip agenda. Your phone is everything in one. You have multimedia device here. You have a camera, internet, videos, personal organizer. It's your Walkman. All the info you need to know is here in your phone. So you can just sift through this thing and go, oh, yeah, I got all I need to know right here. Everything's here. Well, I've said this before, that if they were to take these away, everybody's so addicted to these that if they say take the chip, then you can have the device, then it works with your device, then you'd be surprised how many idiots will do this, how many sheeple will bow down. It's amazing. And, of course, this is all prophesied in the Bible. And how you take it, it is up to you, whatever you believe in. And, you know, I've gone into my criticism of the book and the many things into the episode 34 of the belief systems, the closed-minded belief systems. But there is truth in everything in there. And this you can't argue with the fact that that's right on. Whether the elite are following that like a script, you know, that's hard to say. But look at music, for example. Everything's online now. It sucks, actually. I really don't like this. As a musician myself, I have a bunch of CDs in my closet that, since I'm not able to do gigs right now, they just sit there. And so here, you can't just sell CDs anymore because there's no record stores. They've eliminated the cool things, I think, out of society. Video stores, record stores, those are the things that I like to go to kind of, you know, pick out the cool things that are in our life that, you know, you can sit back and enjoy. Well, now that's all online, and it takes away the physical item, and I don't like that, and I'm definitely not down with that. And neither is Bon Jovi. You know, I don't like his music, but I agree with one thing of his, and that is he personally blames Apple for destroying the music industry, and I agree. They're the ones that seem to be pushing the agenda a lot, and I believe they're behind some of this for sure. I mean, even with down to their symbolism of the bitten apple, what kind of a slap in the face is that to Christians and others out there? You know, what is that doing in itself? But, yeah, nowadays, if you go to get an Apple laptop, there's no disk slot. There's no way to put a disk in. So they're eliminating that. They're going into all downloadable world here. So now there's less ways to copy and duplicate things. Everything's online, less independent ownership of the media. And that poses a problem, and I think that was done by design so you don't pass out discs after a while, DVDs, and so that you can't own media as much, and you're totally reliant on that, and that's the way that they got you, see? And, you know, a chip to access all that after a cataclysm? Yeah, probably. I mean, this is the takeover of the machines, too. And you notice how many common themes in movies you get in, you hear, you see the takeover of machines like Terminator, The Matrix. Those are possibly warnings to the population. I don't think everybody who's making movies out there is in this conspiracy. I actually think that a lot of people that are filmmakers are trying to put out subtle messages. They can't be as blatant as they'd like to be, so they kind of have to embed in a lot of symbology and allegory. But there is a lot to look at, and I think that sometimes they're warnings for the general public, that the machines will take over more. But really, it's more likely not machines taking over. It's people making machines to take over, and that is it. So I've gone in, and this is where the prerequisite in the last show comes in that's important is the last show I went into anarchy and the need for it and the understanding of that. And so if you haven't listened to the last show, yeah, that's imperative. It's a very important prerequisite into this one right here. How this the technology would play into a world where I call total freedom or tentacle-free world, where we have no government, no control system, no money, none of that. So the elite want to do their thing, but let's just say, let's just take them out of the equation for a while here and throw anarchy into the equation. You know, I've been looking at this situation for a long time. I've been awake to the ideas that I'm talking about, most of them, since 1999. And so I've had a long time to look at this. And as you notice with the song I played, that's my music, and I've been expressing it lyrically this whole time. Just now am I able to express it for a wider spectrum and articulate it without the challenges of a lyrical format to have to put out the message. So here I'm able to vent and tell you the last 15 years of observation through the my they live glasses, you could say, looking at the life through this looking at life through these the experience that I've had and chanting it down. And I say that I've been taking a look at this for a long time, so I've had a long time for it to process it and go through it. And very few see this picture. I've been trying to get the conspiracy researchers and truthers to understand that we don't need authority. And at the same time, I've been trying to get the anarchists to understand the New World Order, because very few kind of fuse this together. But that's what I'm attempting to do here, not in a way of trying to manipulate. I'm trying to show that this picture needs to be seen on a bigger look, and the importance of not having authority. So the situation I've been seeing for a long time is to understand that. So the important place to go on this show we always go is we go back to nature. In nature, there is no such thing as authority. So when I go back to nature, I use the only humans that have actually lived on Earth the right way is the Earth people, I call the hunter-gatherers of planet Earth, that were peaceful hunter-gatherers, that had no government, had no authority. That is not part of nature. It doesn't spawn from nature, and it's not what we want. Not at all. It's not what you want. And it's hard for me, it seems like, to convince those, a lot of people that are in the truth movement and looking at this information of the New World Order are not able to see that one. I don't really understand why. But at the same time, like I say, I'm not able to get everybody to see the same photo or the same picture I'm talking about of the fact that we need to go back to nature to understand and see, and then it's our hitching post. So, but anyway, in this system, a system-free world, tentacle-free, total freedom, let's just say a cataclysm might occur, maybe an EMP attack or all kinds of scenarios that brought us back to simple survival. So we're in a world with just that, and tasks are going to be hard. All of a sudden, you're going to have to remember, you know, have to figure out how to bathe yourself without hot water, clean your clothes and the sanitary things. You're going to be exposed to the elements and warm water and other things like that that are important to have that you don't have, you know, all of a sudden. And I'm not exactly what you call a Luddite or a Luddite. I think that there is use for technology, but I think that we have to take the good nuggets from it and the important things. It probably wouldn't be like any other time on Earth, because unless there's a complete catastrophic wipeout, you're going to have all of this man-made junk everywhere. You're going to have scraps. It would be kind of like Mad Max. You're going to have all of this, this types of junk everywhere. So you have things to work with. So in this world I'm talking about, we would have knowledge from this past civilization. We would have something to draw from. So how to take the good scraps and use them. And I think the important things to carry from this world that this technologically advanced world to the natural world to take with us back is medical knowledge. You know, I know that the indigenous people had a lot more, but it's been destroyed. They've destroyed the minds of those people, and they killed them, and genocide, massive genocide happened. So we need the medical knowledge, and that would be important to mine from this past civilization. And, you know, sometimes I feel like maybe Earth was allowed to go out on this limb of increased knowledge, then dip back to nature, taking the good nuggets. You know, sometimes I think about that because maybe we are allowed to do this and then take that stuff back, because we do need certain things here to help us survive, and to survive better is not a problem, and that's why technology is not a terrible thing. But at the same time, it's in the hands of those who are manipulating, and that's where we get into trouble here. So technology itself isn't really the problem, but technology, one thing to kind of just view it as, is intelligent, but it's not full of wisdom. As David Icke says, it's clever, but not wise. You know, it's clever to make an atomic bomb, but not wise to use one, he would say, David Icke. And absolutely, it's an important thing to consider here. This technology it's full of intellect, it's full of left brain, but it's not full of wisdom. And the problem with humans in this fast-moving technology, and just in general, is we are poor at systemic analysis. We are poor at seeing our current situation because it's hard to know what you're immersed in. But we're always able to look back at times and say, what were we thinking back then? And so now, I've said many times on the show, now is one of those times. We're going to sit back one day and go, whoa, what were we thinking then? But we don't have hindsight when you're in the middle of this sphere of technology. And we're definitely poor at technology criticism. Just the things that suck, you know, with it anyway, when it breaks, when it doesn't work, locks us out of our computer, or breaks down, makes things harder than it would originally. And here's something to weigh out and look at it too. It's not evolving us because it's not promoting real consciousness. It might be evolving some external aspects of society, but look what it's missing. Look at us now. Look at people. Consciousness is not being promoted. It's actually being demoted and turned down. And unless you use it for your advantage and listen to shows like this one and others that promote it, technology is often not promoting consciousness. It's a double-edged sword because you can use it to the internet to listen to shows that cover this kind of thing. But technology doesn't have a rooted soul connection. So in the anarchy world, you can't have much of it anyway. I mean, you can't have this advanced technological world without everything that goes with it. And what goes with it is destruction, annihilation of the planet, so everyone can live this way, and the extinction of species here on Earth. And so that's what it requires to run this machine. It's an Earth-eating machine, a culture that is also addicted to growth. But it didn't know when to stop, and that is the core issue, you know. And that is into a bigger issue, which I'll get into on the next show with Derek Jensen. And that is the core issue. And a lot of these environmental groups fail to see that. You know, they fail to see that it's the system itself. It's this whole way of life that is destroying the planet, our consciousness, and it's got to go. And it's the entire way. It's the civilization. It's this entire way of living. I mean, look at the insanity that you can get out of these people here with technology. If you've ever checked it out, the CEO, or I think he's the former CEO of Microsoft. His name is Steve Ballmer, and he goes over something to do with he goes in does these seminars, and he jumps up on stage and he's in nutcase. He's like, developers, and he's clapping his hands, developers, and he's got everybody clapping their hands and development, as this is the number one thing. A huge crowd of people are just like, yeah, they love this guy, and he's like, I love this company, developers. And that's insanity. That is the insane nature of this culture right there, that they're clapping development and destruction of planet Earth. And, well, the full wake-up is bigger than that. I like what the mathematician in Jurassic Park had to say, who was played by Jeff Goldblum. He said, what you call the discovery, I call the rape of the natural world. And he was referring to the park creator. You know, he had them there, and he was referring to what he's trying to do and manipulate DNA and all that. And that's it. It is the natural, is the rape of the natural world. So the full wake up, the real one, is when people quit their jobs, stop driving their cars, and say no to authority. You know, that is it. And that's the Bruce Lee one-inch punch that sends the beast with its tentacles across the room and throws it out. Because right there, that is the real wake-up. And that's how deep it needs to go. And on this show, we chant it down to the fullest degree. And that's what I mean when I say that, is we take the critique where it needs to go to understand the beast, to understand the system that is wrapped around us. And that includes this whole way of life that has been designed for us. It's been designed for us to be wrapped up in. And we're on this show coming unwrapped from it. So that's it. When people quit their jobs, stop driving their cars, and say no to authority. Are we anywhere close to that? Well, no, we're not. And am I saying that it's not going to happen? Well, it will happen. One day we will, when we figure out that this doesn't work. And so that is the full chant down, my friends. And we'll continue that on the next show with civilization and looking at that as a whole. And many don't go here, and many won't go here, because the people want to salvage parts of this and that. But we must understand that this is what keeps us from moving forward and holds us back. And technology is being used to hold us back. So that is how it has you. And that is where I leave off for now. But like I say, this conversation continues because it goes into just deeper aspects of the life that we live in. So hope you've been enjoying the show. I hope that there's a lot of great times in your life, and enjoy your life. Enjoy the technology that you do have and use it for your advantage. Enjoy it while it's here. I'm not saying that you have to live like a monk. I'm just saying you need to know this. All I'm saying is, I'm just sharing it with you, and this is what we need to identify the corruption in our lives. And that's what it's all about. But enjoy your life, and that's what it's all about, too. So that's how it goes. I'll also be sharing with you soon some survival tips, some good tips. I went when I was thinking about this coming hurricane situation, I brought out my bug out bag list, and I'll share that with you on another episode soon, and just things that help us survive in case stuff does happen. We don't need to live in a world of fear or paranoia, but live in a world of preparation. There's nothing wrong with that, because we act like this thing is going to go on forever, and that's where we get lost in this technology, when we think that it's just been here our whole lives and it's going to stay with us. Well, that can change at any given moment. So look at what the elite's doing. Look at what they're using it for. Look at the health impacts. Look at the what it's doing to our brains and our bodies, and look at it as a whole and understand that we don't need the authority in our lives. We don't need anything over our heads, and we don't need to be wrapped around. We need to be total free human beings on planet Earth. All right. Well, that looks like it's going to wrap up this show. I don't have any callers, and perhaps you can promote this show and further it out so I do have callers. I will be doing the next show again on August 27th with Derek Jensen to further this talk and further this exploration into chanting down and getting rid of the system tentacles. All right, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day and your life, and continue on chanting it down until we meet again. Keep on chanting down, and listen to the archives, because there's a lot of valuable information, and I'm just one voice out there. There are much better radio show hosts than me, but if you like what I'm doing, like I say, promote the show. Much love. Aloha.
Are you awake now?